Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 76 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am one of your hosts, Jim Viscardi, and as always, I am joined by Christian Hoffer and Megan Peters for all kinds of Pokemon goodness. Welcome, everyone.
Hello.
We are here.
All right, I'm just going to stop welcome. I'm going to stop
that
part Hoffer. Of the intro. I'm going to stop what? That part of the intro because...
No, that gave us an excellent preview of Hoffer's like frog throat.
What the hell?
Here I am. Coffee.
Here I am on my deathbed, like many of the Pokemon in their pre-Pokemon forms, and yet I am still endeavoring to do this podcast.
We would have and could have done it without you.
Let's go ahead and give the blanket statement that you don't have COVID to our knowledge.
I do not have COVID. It is another seasonal bug that has nothing to do with the deadly pandemic that continues to rage unchecked across our fair country.
Right.
Well, the cure for that is more Pokemon.
That's true.
Right.
And we have a lot of it.
News, Pokemon news ebbs and flows quite a bit. And we are on the eve of Crown Tundra coming out. And so we have a ton of stuff to talk about. So basically, the show goes like this. We do a news section, which is basically some quick hit headlines. Then we do a deep dive. And then we do a Pokemon Fact of the Week. Because this is the month of October, the Pokemon Facts of the Weeks are for your more spooky Pokemon. Or normal Pokemon that just have terrifying Pokedex entries. So, anyway, let's get into it because we've got a lot. So,
breaking news, Jim. Whoa. Stop the press.
Is this real breaking news?
This is actual breaking news. Happened while you were, procrastinating on getting onto this podcast. Pokemon Go is teasing something.
Yes, I saw that.
It's teasing.
Okay, sorry.
Something.
A mysterious something creature.
Beautiful and colorful.
It's eternally like teasing something. What is this teaser? Where did you see it?
So
they
on
just
Twitter,
posted a tweet.
On Twitter, while exploring the world of Pokemon Go, Professor Willow spotted a beautiful, colorful Pokemon that he'd never seen before. Luckily, he was able to take some quick snapshots of it before it ran away. Stay tuned. Jim, what this means? Do you know what this means, Jim?
No, what is it?
I mean, I've got my fingers crossed for Ponyta.
It's almost certainly Ponyta.
You think it's Galarian Ponyta?
I mean, we do have a Pokemon Sword and Shield downloadable content pack being released tomorrow. So yeah, it is very likely that it is Ponyta. However, that does not stop people from speculating that it might be Kecleon, that crazy chameleon Pokemon that hasn't appeared in the game for over 2 years.
Okay, but here's a question though. Professor yes. Willow.
Yes.
Pokemon researcher.
Yes.
Pokemon he's never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
We assume he knows. So are we assuming, is the storyline here that he still doesn't know anything much about Galarian Pokemon? Or?
I mean, yeah, Jim,
the storyline is he's dumb. The storyline is Professor Willow has some major issues and isn't qualified for his current position.
Jim, have you listened to our podcast before?
No,
established that Pokemon researchers are idiots. They don't know where Pokemon eggs come from.
Right. I understand that Professor Willow is probably the least knowledgeable of all the grand Pokemon professors, but what if it's a new Pokemon?
It
did cross my mind.
It
did cross my mind. That would be pretty sweet.
So here's why I do not think it is that. One, unlike Meltan, in which we had a new Pokemon game coming out literally a month later, no new Pokemon games on the horizon. There will be a Pokemon game coming out in 2021, yes, but there is no reason why we would think that Pokemon Go is about to get another exclusive Pokemon in addition to Meltan / Melmetal. The timeline just doesn't sync up. Like, I do think that when 2021 happens and we get Pokemon Let's Go Johto or Pokemon Let's Go Sinnoh, we will get some sort of new Pokemon tie-in to that. But I believe this is 1 year too early for a new Pokemon.
That's fair.
But
fair,
yeah,
reasoning. I'll take
it. So breaking news.
This breaking news may be a double-edged sword because we may get the news by the time we're done recording or this episode comes out in 12 hours or, you know, 24 hours. So if you're listening to this and the news has already come out, one of us was right. So we will see. All right. So on the Pokemon Go front, it's October. It's my favorite time to play Pokemon Go because that means costumed Pokemon.
Yep, costume Pokemon. And this
My gosh, have you seen the costumed Gengar?
Gengar is adorable.
It's
so cute. Adorable.
It is very 2018.
It's so chubby and waddly. It's so cute.
I love it.
I would buy a plush of it, like, so quick.
And you could have back in 2018 when that Gengar was the official mascot for the Halloween season. Pokemon Go kind of ganks all these Halloween designs from the, you know, actual Pokemon company Halloween costumes. And so this year we've got Sableye dressed up as Litwick and Gengar dressed up as Mega Banette and and those were prominently featured in promotional Halloween stuff back in 2018. Still really cool. I am appreciative that we did not get, like, it's, you know, Pikachu wearing a Frankenstein cap or something stupid like that. So, you know, like, God bless, the more costumed Pokemon, the better. I'll take it.
For sure. What else was I going to say? With this Halloween-ish kind of event, we will be getting Double Candy and Gengar Mega Energy.
Yes, there will be a special research event that will give out Gengar Mega Energy, and obviously that indicates that Mega Gengar will be added to the game here very shortly. In fact, they are pulling Mega Venusaur out of Pokemon Go and putting Mega Gengar in, which I don't quite understand why one must go, and, you know, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense based on how, you know, the whole Mega Energy thing works, but who am I to doubt?
Does that mean Mega Beedrill is gone?
No, Mega Beedrill's still in. They announced that Mega Venusaur is being cycled out. So it seems that, and like I said, I don't 100% understand this because, you know, since it costs Mega Energy to Mega Evolve your Pokemon every time, you kind of need a steady supply of Mega Energy to keep that going. And so by depriving us of Mega Venusaur, this means that players will eventually have to ration off their Mega Energy, which I think is kind of weird.
Yeah, that's all right. More on the Pokemon Go front. Verizon and Pokemon Go are teaming up.
Yes.
Yes. Right. Yes, they are. They are indeed teaming up. So this is a new sponsorship, similar to Pokemon and Starbucks. Pokemon and T-Mobile?
Yep, T-Mobile had one for a bit.
So, you know, but this one's a little bit more extensive, to be honest. I was kind of surprised. Not only will Verizon customers get their very own Verizon-themed clothing that you can put your avatar in, and Verizon stores will become Verizon Pokestops and gyms, and that you will be able to get free gifts from those that display a special message from Verizon. Verizon customers are also getting a special weekend event exclusive to Verizon customers.
That's pretty cool. I imagine this is part and parcel with Verizon rolling out 5G.
Is that what's going on?
That's a thing that's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. It is. I get very frequent notifications about my Verizon plan. They're just like, are you going to get 5G? Check your coverage. But hey, yeah, I'll take a week.
It's been, and this is just how it's all come together. I mean, right. So you had Apple had an event. They announced new iPhones that are capable of 5G, and they brought Verizon out and said, oh my gosh, how great is 5G? And then now you've got Verizon, you know, teaming up with Pokemon Go. So Verizon, they're going all out to let everybody know that they got fast phones, supposedly.
Yep. Yep, they got 5G and those mind-controlling devices.
That's right.
Oh, boy. And there's your conspiracy for the week.
There it is. Also in Pokemon Go, new apparel is coming to the store in the form of face masks.
Yeah.
Which is actually very, very cool. I'm sure the development time potentially that goes into some of this stuff. So it's one of those things where it's like, I'm glad we're getting them, because I think it's a very cool thing to just kind of raise that kind of awareness. But also, too, it's been a few months.
That they've even needed to do this, that it lasted long enough that they need to do face masks. But I approve, because Animal Crossing has had face masks for a while, and I still wear one of those. So I will be adding this to my daily collection.
Well, there's a couple of jokes here. First,
if they're not,
you know,
jokes,
Pokemon
just,
Go,
just keep.
Pokemon Go recently rolled back its COVID-19. COVID-19 perks. So it's like, yes. So you're pulling away the perks just in time to add masks. So remember, guys, COVID-19 is still a thing, but that's weird. Will no longer be like shaping our game around it. But wear a mask. The other thing is that it doesn't sync up with certain pieces of item, like certain like other apparel. So it's you'll see occasionally like the mask will be down over the chin instead of like proper face mask covering. It's like, oh, it's just like real.
Oh no. Now I'm so sad, man. I'm disheartened now.
I love it. All right, we're gonna take a quick break, come back, finish the news, and then get into the deep dive. We'll be right back.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay. There's one more bit of Pokemon Go news we probably could have squeezed in the last segment, but we'll just talk about it now. There's a new Pokemon event, Catch Mastery.
Yep. So you get extra XP for making good catches.
For doing better catches.
Yep.
I tell you what, though. So we also should probably talk about, because I'm going to bring it up. Big news. Big news for Jim Viscardi this weekend.
Your second shiny Pokemon.
Not only does Jim have a Charizard, he has a regular Charizard and a shiny Charizard. And I caught a Giratina. I know.
I'm proud that Jim.
You actually had a busy
big weekend. But I only say that because it was funny. Because what I've learned over the community day for Charmander is his catch circle is easily one of the easiest ones to get good catches on. Like I am an okay Pokeball thrower, but like for during that community day, it was just excellent, excellent, excellent. And I was like, this is, I know I did not magically get better. So
ego boost, ego boost. Yeah,
and so it got easier. So yeah, so I have a Chinese Charizard, which feels like a big accomplishment. And I got invited to the Giratina raid. So, and I'm almost positive it was a listener. So if it was a listener, thank you for that. It happened very, very fast. I had to go through two teams to stay alive, but that's fine.
It's fine.
I burnt through many revives.
That's all right.
But hey, it's all right.
Yes. So, Jim, just to deflate your bubble a little bit, I just popped
in. You can tell me how many you've got.
It's just pointing out that, you know, I got my shiny Charizard back in July 2018.
Are you sure of the date?
I went through and I looked it up and it was July, 2018. I was like, oh man, I'm pretty sure that's like syncs up with like the first community day that happened, not the third Charmander community day. I didn't even do this community day because I took a look at like the Dragon Breath, because that was the exclusive move that came with this community day, and you know, it's honestly junk. Like, it doesn't really do much for me. Like, it doesn't really benefit me on my PvP teams. It didn't benefit for me in my raid team. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do it. But I'm happy for you, Jim. I genuinely am. I'm glad that it took you 4 years to get into the game. But I'm glad that you're finally starting to get into things.
No, that is very excellent. I also want to share something that I did. I got the Mewtwo model kit. Which we've just talked about.
I got the Riolu and Lucario one. Let me see.
Yeah, this Mewtwo. Oh, you got the Okay, I've been wanting to do the Charizard Dragonite one, but
I didn't realize it comes in a single pack.
Yeah, it's a two.
It's a double. Yeah, I got this Mewtwo one literally for like $2 at like a secondhand store, and it was like no one had even opened it, and I was like, gonna make this. So this is my Mewtwo. He's my small son.
Did you enjoy the process?
Oh yeah, it was excellent. It's really interesting doing it with my fiance because it's basically like a beginner's Gunpla kit for like Gundam, because everything snaps together. There's no gluing or painting or anything needed. So it was really funny. It's just like trying to watch him figure out how to do everything, because I have done many of the higher level Gunpla, which make you want to like claw your eyes out because you get glue everywhere. These are fun and easy.
I tell you what, though. Like I said, I did the Riolu and Lucario one, and my sticker application for that one was perfect.
I hate
those stickers are hard stickers because it's got the little pink circles for the paw pads. Oh, yeah. Man.
So I use a tweezer for those. So I have a tweezer, and I end up using the tweezer, and I have a I have my entire set like right up here. So I use an X-Acto knife for the bigger ones, but I have this.
Oh wow!
I don't screw around when it comes to modeling. I actually just went and bought a seam scraper for some of my resin stuff, because totally unrelated to Pokemon. But there's a Marvel Miniatures game called Crisis Protocol, and they sent me like a ton of new miniatures. So like Taskmaster and Daredevil and Bullseye and Kingpin and stuff like that. So I was going to go and do some modeling last week before I got sick. So I bought a seam scraper. But, you know, I really like these model kits a lot. The thing that I hate about Lucario and Riolu was with the Riolu one specifically. I'm pretty sure the Lucario didn't have it, but you stickered the back of their legs. Like they did make a actual like back legs. You just put a sticker over it. And I thought that was the dumbest thing.
Mewtwo is similar. Mewtwo has a thing where you're supposed to sticker part of his tail because you want it to look like a seamless transition, but they didn't make like another plastic bit for it. So you're supposed to use a sticker of the same color. And those stickers are meant to curve. So there's these specific folds and flaps that you're supposed to like curve around his tail. It was an ordeal, but it was fun. Definitely recommend continuing to do all of these model kits.
No, I absolutely, this has been like one of my big like COVID hobbies is, you know, really digging into like the Gunpla and the Pokemon models. And, you know, if you get into these, like the Pokemon ones are great because, you know, they technically don't require any cutters. I recommend them just because then you don't get stuck with the little bits, and stuff. But you know, they only take like 30 minutes to do, and they really help like orient your ways of thinking so you can start doing the Gunplas and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because the
And I know they're on sale right now at several retailers because I already ordered several more.
I need that Gengar one so badly.
It's coming out this month. Like I know it's out in Japan already, but it's supposed to hit the US because the thing is though, they haven't announced any new ones. So we have Gengar, we have Rayquaza, and then we have a Mew. But they haven't announced any ones besides those. Those are the only three that haven't come out. So they seem to be doing well, though. Like my local hobby store.
So mine is consistently out of them. Like if I don't tell him, like, hey, hold one for me, I will miss them. So, and that's the thing too. Like, and for anyone listening who, you know, just heard us kind of go on a tangent about these model kits, they are, they're beginner level. They're a great way to just like, if you need some like quiet time or alone time, like I find them oddly therapeutic, but they're at such a great price point that like you're getting a pretty cool figure at the end of it. Like, cause I think one of the things that people, the misconception is, and I say it because I know I had it at first, was, when you hear the term model kit, you think, oh, it's, and you're not familiar with it. Like you're thinking you're building basically a statue, right? And that's not necessarily what these are. Like, I mean, obviously these would look great on a shelf or whatever, but like they're fairly articulate and, you know, they've got a bunch of points and, you know, they're not fully articulated figures, but they do have a number of points that, you know, you, if you've got kids, they could play with them kind of thing. And, it was interesting because Christian, you did the Riolu and Lucario one, right?
Yeah,
I thought the Lucario one was actually one of the ones that seemed a bit more. I don't want to say complex, but like had a bit more weird parts to it, like at least to his like torso than some of the other ones I had done yet. I didn't do Lugia or whatnot, so I'm not necessarily sure, but all the other ones I did. I mean, Mewtwo was also that way, but...
Oh, in terms of complexity, I would put Lucario in the top three. So yeah. I've done all of them, because the other... they also have Reshiram and Zekrom, which I just did over the weekend, which... You know, they were both fun to do. I mean, I'm not like they aren't visually impressive because it's literally white and black. But you know, they were a little tricky to do just because everything's one color. But yeah, the Lucario build was a little bit tricky. I'm trying to think which other ones. The Ho-Oh one was actually the other one. That's mainly because they have like there's 50 stickers. And like F stickers. Like I spent an entire hour. You put a sticker on every single one of his tail feathers.
No.
Yeah. That's awesome. I actually really want to do that now. That sounds so relaxing to me.
It was incredibly tedious. So I'd put the Ho-Oh one as the most difficult one, but Lucario probably would be third after Ho-Oh and Mewtwo. It's a fun build. I mean, like I said, like, you know, as someone who does Gunpla, and you know, Gunpla builds take like 4 or 5 hours, and these you can usually do in about, just under an hour. You know, the nice thing is that the price point's right. It's like the most expensive one, I think, is $15.
Yeah.
So, you know, and most of them are $10. So I really like them for just like a good way just to spend an hour and kind of get into Zen mode. It's a fun hobby. It really is. I really like it. And you know, I say this to somebody, I got a tremor in my hands. I've never been really good with the detail stuff. But I still really recommend doing it because it's very calming. And, you know, if you put yourself in the right mindset and you just like acknowledge that these things are very hard to mess up, you know, you'll have fun with it.
Play some like Pokemon theme music, the Lavender Town soundtrack and theme song, and you're great.
So yeah, anyway, that was a nice long, tangent. So there's that.
Nice tangent.
It was about Pokemon though. So yeah, we're true. At least kind I, of on like, topic.
Like I said, I love them. I think they're great. So go out. If you can find them, get them. Otherwise, I'm sure there are a number of online retailers that you can find it from as well.
Yeah. I know right, Hobby Lobby has them for $5 right now.
Let's finish up the news section so we can get to the deep dive. Two little Pokemon Go, Pokemon trading card game bits. Coco got a Pokemon card.
Yes, Coco the human is now a Pokemon card and not a trainer card, a Pokemon card, as in you actually put him out, attach energy to him, and then use him to kick Pokemon.
Yes. I'm waiting for his evolution card to come out where he's like an adult.
Well,
like
the big question is you know, there's a couple of like points because this is only the second or third time that this has ever happened, that we've gotten a non-Pokemon card that is a non-Pokemon that is used as a Pokemon card. And so people are wondering is there something that we're missing about Coco? Maybe Coco isn't actually a human here. And maybe he's actually, you know, he's in reality some sort of Pokemon, but you know, we'll find out on December 25th. Because the movie theaters are open in Japan, so.
Yes, and they are killing it. So we will find out shortly about Coco and his mysterious Pokemon ways.
Yep. But yeah, it, a little interesting, like, trivia factoid. I think it's the first time since, like, I can't remember if it was 97 or, no, it was 2007. There was a buried fossil that you could use as a Pokemon card. So this is the first time in 13 years. That a non-Pokemon can be put out as an active Pokemon.
It looks like there is also news in the world of Logan Paul and Pokemon cards. What did he buy this week? This one I think I missed.
Charizard card.
Oh, did he?
As usual.
Yeah,
man, Pokemon cards are going for so much right now.
He bought a Charizard card for $150,000. This has become like the new like. I'm a YouTuber with money to burn. Watch me go and spend money on Pokemon. That is like the trend because I've seen like no one, you know, quite as like notable. And I say like notable in the loosest possible terms.
Oh, right. This is the one he bought from the Pawn Stars guy.
Yeah. I was going to say, you're the one who right. This like, is the linked one to that.
Here. Yep.
He bought it from
Gary from Pawn Stars.
What did you originally call that show?
Look, it's my Long Island accent. It slurs some words sometimes.
We give it to you. But no, whenever I go on YouTube now, like I have like a Pokemon curated section because I do watch a bunch of like Pokemon related videos. But now just in my like usual vlogger, I'm seeing like a ton of very randomly related people just getting Pokemon sets, like going out buying a ton. It's ridiculous.
Don't tell me
the
thumbnail image.
I'm working on trying to get Leonhardt on the show because I feel like that would be a fun one because like he's someone who was doing it for fun and then just blew up.
He was in the right place at the right time.
He was like the first you know guy. There's a lot of people who did it, but you know a lot of people who go and open Pokemon cards on.
Sure, but he YouTube, was the one who like
he is like the guy who does that.
He elevated the status.
The thing is too, like he's very genuine. Like he comes off very genuine, and you can tell that you know he loves what he does. Dude raises a ton of money for charity.
He's cool.
Yeah.
And I would much rather. I mean, from a not to be like gatekeepy or anything like that, because, you know,
exactly,
anyone
exactly what you're about to.
Well, no, anyone should be able to open up Pokemon cards and do what the hell they want with them, you know. But like, you know, for people kind of like using that to like build clout or chase clout or whatever, like I'd much rather like promote like someone from within the community who's been doing it for a long time and like actively, you know, like Leonhard, he's cool. Like I've watched his videos before. They're very infectious, very fun. And he's been doing it forever. Like
he's been doing it for a really long time.
Logan Paul, on the other hand, is just like doing what he can to get Pokemon, you know, get views. Yeah. And it's kind of sad that he's trying to take advantage of, you know, a thing that so many people love. And, but, you know, that's what Logan Paul does. I mean, if he's not doing that, he's, you know, filming videos of dead people. So.
No. All right.
But.
on that note, it's funny. I had a Pokemon card story. That's what I wanted to share. So, my parents, so I thought my parents sent me like all my old cards the other day. And a couple months ago or whatever, they sent me a whole bunch of my old cards. My dad sends me a text message the other day and goes, "Hey, I found another box of cards." And I'm like, "Geez, Louise, how many more cards of these? How many more boxes of these things do I have?" And sure enough, I guess there was a period of time in my collecting where I realized, if you bought Japanese packs back in the early days of this, foil cards were more prevalent in the Japanese packs than they were in the American packs. Because in the American packs, I believe, and someone's going to correct me on this, starting in Fossil, but maybe Jungle, they started putting out non-holo versions of the rare cards.
Those are base set. The base
was
set.
Was that base set?
Yeah, that's been a thing since.
Oh, then I must have burned all the ones I had, because I like in my collection I had zero of them, but I had a number of them from I think Jungle or Fossil. I didn't realize that. So that makes sense. So that's what I remember. I was like, oh man, I can get a foil card in every one of the Japanese packs and not the American packs. I'm going all in on the Japanese cards. Now obviously the value there is not as much, but if you've got, you know, some base set packs, and like, so I'm just showing a whole, like basically all of them because I love them so much. But the Alakazam is like, this one is one of my favorite cards ever. There was another one in here that I really like. The Giovanni's Gardos, Dark Gardos is another one of my favorite ones. Not the normal Zapdos. Where is it? Oh, and that's it. And then this one, the Rocket, Team Rocket Mewtwo, one of my favorite ones. Love that card. So anyway, now I'm done showing off my Pokemon cards. But I thought it was just a nice kind of like nostalgia trip, just like getting them in the mail and then seeing. This was another cool one too.
It's like you got to open them for the second time.
Someone marked this on the calendar. Jim, you were right. I was wrong.
Oh, was it Jungle?
Wow. It was Jungle.
Mm-hmm. Jungle. Yeah, that's it. Because I think I remember the first one I ever pulled that wasn't a holo, and like I remember this pretty vividly was Snorlax.
I remember because I knew and I am correct in this that, you know, there were non-holo rare cards in the base set,
but
they did not have a crossover, you know, like that.
There wasn't a like non-holo Charizards don't exist.
Yeah, and so the reason why is because Wizards of the Coast, who, you know, when they had the license, the original Jungle set was only 48 cards, and you can't really market a base set.
I didn't realize.
48 cards. The Japanese sets are smaller because they tend to do like two
they do more
releases.
Yeah.
And so in order to expand that to 64, they doubled up on the rare cards and made some non-holo. You know, that's why, is to expand it from 48 to 64.
There was nothing more frustrating than getting a non-holo rare card.
Yeah, well,
nothing more.
And because there's only 64 cards in that, and there was only 62 in Fossil. I mean, you know, buying those packs, you know, you got all, like 90% of the cards.
Yep.
Like so it was so easy to double up on stuff, and that was what was frustrating, was they were bad investments after a while.
So So anyway, all right, well, we're going to take another break and then jump into a big Sword and Shield update.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right. Crown Tundra, who's ready for it?
Me. I've been playing so much
Shield recently. A little bit more excitement, please.
Honestly, it's because
Just a little bit more.
It's honestly because I was up till 1 a.m. playing Shield to like make sure I had everything ready. I was powering up some of my like B team characters, and I was doing a lot last night.
Part of it is we don't actually know when this thing is dropping. Like it's the 22nd/23rd.
Yeah.
Like we don't actually have a time or a date. It's coming out sometime tomorrow. You know, when this is recording, like, you know, the 22nd, maybe the 23rd.
Which is difficult. Yeah. So I will preface this with, I mean, by the time you're listening to it, I mean, there's a good chance the game may be out. It may not, who knows. There are a bunch of leaks out there already. So please, you know, tread with caution if you are not looking to spoil yourself. We're not going to go over, we're not going to go over them here, but just know that, you know, they are out there a bit. That being said, it looks like we're going to get about 4 hours of story content, which is good.
And twice as much as what we got for Isle of Armor.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I wonder, you know, what that may mean from a size standpoint about the Crown Tundra. Like, is it going to be, look, we got about 2 hours of story content from Isle of Armor. So will this be like, will this double up in a way? So who knows? But that's one of the things I'm excited about. I mean, look, I think everyone on this show loved the exploration part of Isle of Armor. That's one of the biggest thing that I'm excited about for this. I guess now that I'm thinking about it, the double in it could probably like double the size and the expansion could be those, the legendary dungeons.
Yeah. That's
probably it.
We're getting what will likely happen. And, you know, discounting the fact that, you know, some of the spoiler stuff is already out there, but, it seems that we will have individual storylines for each set of legendary Pokemon that will be introduced in this game. So, you know, the legendary birds will get like a little storyline. The legendary Regis will get a storyline. Calyrex will get a storyline. The Ultra Beasts, which, you know, have been confirmed for a while, will get a storyline. And so that's where the story content comes in. Is, you know, we're going to get a lot of, you know, storylines involving a lot of legendary Pokemon, not even including the ones that you'll be able to get from Dynamax Adventures.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's going to be nuts.
All right. I'm hyped. So we learned a pretty big deal about the legendary birds. Mm-hmm. One of these things, I am going to mention it, just it did come out in the leak, but I do want to mention it because I think it's a good topic to discuss, is the colors of them, or the quote shinies, or if they are the shiny versions of it, but apparently the regular colors of these may be available in some form or fashion.
So the shiny variants of the new Galarian Pokemon match the color schemes of the Kanto versions of them. The shiny version of Galarian Articuno is a pale blue, the same exact color as normal Articuno. That's what Jim is referring to. And it is really cool. Like, you know, they did this with the Alolan Grimer, where the shiny version of Alolan Grimer was purple. They did the same thing here. So, you know, it's a nice little nod. We don't know if those shinies will actually be available in the game, or, and this is quite frankly the more likely option, if they're being like set aside as, you know, some sort of promotional content somewhere right. down the road.
Like an event or something.
I mean, quite frankly, I think those shinies are too cool just to be like, you have a 1 in 2,000 chance of getting them.
Yeah. I mean, that would be a really good way to draw in people who, you know, maybe don't have the DLC or who've been holding out like as a celebration event, you know, later sometime this year or something where they do, hey, you have a guaranteed shot of running into these more frequently. And,
or even that they were just like in normal raids. Yeah, like if they,
like in a den. Yeah, if they like were like, these guys are going to show up, you have a better chance of getting them. Like, have at it.
Weekend or something.
So here's the reason
why. Bird watching. That's what I want.
Here's the reason why that.
Love it. Bird watching. Perfect.
Bird watching. Come on.
So the reason that won't happen is that you will only be able to get one of each legendary Pokemon through the Dynamax.
Well, okay, but okay. So, but here's the thing. So, one of the things that we're going to talk about is the legendaries are roaming. Are going to be roaming.
The birds are going.
The birds are going to. Sorry, the legendary birds are going to be roaming. So, yes. Does that mean they are in a different class? Could they be in a different class?
No, that's just not really how the Pokemon games work. I mean, when's the last time that we actually? I mean, outside the Ultra Beasts. Which are classified separately from traditional legendary Pokemon. When have we ever gotten multiple legendary Pokemon in the same game where you've been able to catch like 20 legendary Articunos and stuff like that? That's just not something that really happens in the Pokemon games. That doesn't really fit in with the ethos that Game Freak has for the legendary.
So does that mean you're not going to be able to catch a legendary Pokemon? Like if you want a shiny one, you need to go and just like encounter it over and over and over and over and over again and catch the one that you want.
We don't know yet whether or not legendary Pokemon are shiny locked or not. Traditionally, yes, Jim, that is how it works. When a legendary Pokemon is not shiny locked, because you only get one chance to catch these Pokemon, you have to reset your game dozens upon dozens of times. Now,
go ahead. Just go ahead. I'll let you finish.
Pokemon Sword and Shield, how these Dynamax adventures will work. Say that you progress through the Dynamax adventures, you come across Groudon and it's a not shiny. You have the option, if shiny Groudon is available, you have the option of choosing not to take that Pokemon away with you. Because these Pokemon have a legendary Pokemon that you encounter in Dynamax Adventures, only Dynamax Adventures, have 100% catch rate. You will leave your Dynamax Adventure with one Pokemon. It can be the rental Pokemon that you brought in with you, it can be one of the Dynamax Pokemon that you encountered, or it can be the legendary Pokemon. So you have the option of not picking it. So if, and this is a big if, shiny Pokemon are available in those Dynamax adventures, you have the option of just going through every single time and hoping that you have better luck on.
If I catch a Groudon though and then decide I don't want that Groudon anymore, can I go back and catch a new Groudon?
I do not believe so, no.
Oh.
Because I mean you haven't been able to do that in other Pokemon games. Like
but the Dynamax dungeons are totally like, I mean they're
not that different.
You haven't been able to do that either.
But they're not that different than, like, the wormholes, you know? So, like, in Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, like, you could go through a wormhole and get Mewtwo. But once you got that Mewtwo, you didn't have another opportunity to get that, you know?
But wouldn't you say the difference, though, here is, though, like, I mean, it's connected to it's way more connected to the internet, theoretically, if you're connected that way. So it would... know one way or the other.
I mean, this is the new version of something that we've seen in Gen 6 and Gen 7. So, you know, that's my thing is, you know, it's an update version. Yeah, like, you know, because you can also do it by yourself. You do not have to partner. It's just kind of like how you can do a normal raid battle by yourself. Hypothetically, you won't get stuck with somebody who comes along with the Magikarp during these Dynamax adventures. Because they give you what Pokemon you start with. So supposedly these Pokemon will be better. We learned, you know, they released a bunch of preview articles this morning. And so we learned a little bit couple of new bits of information. Like, for instance, if as you are going through your Dynamax adventure, you'll be given like a branching like map. and you'll be able to see potentially what Pokemon you're going to run into. So like the example they showed, they had a ghost Pokemon, which had what was, you know, it was like shadowed out, but was clearly a Haunter. And they had another one, which I forget what the other one was, but it was clearly a Pokemon that you could see. Once you defeat it, all of your Pokemon, you know, whatever damage happens to your Pokemon carries over to the next Dynamax adventure. So, you know, you have to contend with that. But one person can switch out your Pokemon for the next adventure. So there's a little bit of a tension there because, like, okay, let's say, like, my Pokemon's down to 10 health. I clearly want to switch that Pokemon out for a fresh one. But if somebody else wants that Pokemon instead, you know, if we can't come to a decision independently, the game randomly selects one person. So, you know, there's a lot of strategy that's involved to it. I'm really excited about it. It should be really interesting.
Nice. Yeah. Also, some of the, you know, I think one of the things that we need to talk about is, or at least one of the things that I'm curious about is really how these legendary encounters are going to go. Like, are there going to be different kind of quote rarity tiers to some of them? Like, is it going to be impossible to get to encounter Rayquaza or
that we don't that actually that we have we, no yeah. idea.
We so have zero idea.
In past games, how it has tended to work is that there are tiers of Pokemon that you can. So, like, let's say I'm trying to think of a good example. So, in like Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, you could only get like Groudon in Ultra Sun, for instance.
Right.
I don't know which one it was, but you know, you could only get Groudon in one game. You could only get Kyogre in the other game, but to get Rayquaza, you need to have both on your team in order to get the third, or you need to have both, like, you know, in your collection or something like that, or register to your Pokedex or something. So that's how it's worked in other games, is they've had, like, different, like, you know, like, you had to check off some boxes. Now, because this is on the internet, I have no freaking clue. That's going to be really exciting. And also, I like the fact that, you know, I can enter a Dynamax adventure with somebody from, like, you know, like, you, I have Sword, you two both have Shield. Yes. So if I want to get the Shield Pokemon, I would just hop into one of your raids. If you wanted some of the Sword Pokemon, you would just need to hop into mine. I'm curious to see if you can just freely enter other people's Dynamax adventures, like how it works in raids. I'm really curious about that, because that will make my experience a lot more fun. And if there's a way to see if someone is in Sword or Shield.
That would be great, because I'm relying a lot on the fact that my fiance has Sword and I have Shield. Like, very much relying on that fact to get some of the, you know, exclusives.
Yeah. So, all right, I guess we can go to the Pokemon fact of the week.
Okay. Yeah.
Spooky time.
It is spooky time, and what's spookier than a jack-o'-lantern from hell?
Wow, that's the energy we've been looking for.
That's it.
Yeah, so Pumpkaboo, and this one, I should have known. I should have freaked out. It's like Pumpkaboo, it's like, of course, like Pumpkaboo has a human spirit trapped inside of it. That's the Pokedex entry is
like
so many other ones. But the funny thing is, the size of the Pumpkaboo correlates with the size of the person who died. Like, large Pumpkaboo have adults, and, like, I forget the exact, like, wording of it, but the extra large Pumpkaboos, they're, like, this also corresponds to, like, you know, the size of the human. I was like, what's that supposed to mean? Pokedex? Like, what sort of size? Are we talking basketball players? Are we talking, like, weight-wise? What are we talking about here? And they're like, we're not going to go into that because we are a politically correct Pokedex.
Oh my gosh.
And also we are a PG rated Pokedex. I'm like, really? Really? But yeah, no.
Okay.
Pumpkaboo has the souls of the damned trapped inside.
So So it's actually...
Gee, Sword has a really messed up entry because it says that that Pumpkaboo, small Pumpkaboo prefer the spirits of children. Like, I know it's because they're small, but like that's really messed up.
I just love that there are different Pokedex entries for the different sizes, which I think is actually pretty incredible. But Gorgeist is...
Oh, it's even worse. Yeah. It's
like supersized Gorgeist aren't picky. They will forcefully drag off anyone to the afterlife.
It's like
that's so messed up.
Well, it's like also it's like large Gorgeist put on the guise of adults, taking the hands of children to lead them to the afterlife. Like, and like at, like eerie cries emanate from average size.
The why entry for Gorgeist is horrifying. Oh, it enwraps its prey in its hair-like arms. It sings joyfully as it observes the suffering of its prey.
That's like a song lyric from a Nightmare Before Christmas song.
Legitimately, that's something out of like Jeepers Creepers. Yeah, like, well, I'm not a fan.
The sounds that Gorgeist makes are literally the sounds of the damned. I'm not even being I'm not engaging in any hyperbole either.
It's literally what this says.
Oh man, one of these days they need to make
rated
teen Pokemon entry where they're just like, it's like, yeah, you want freaking creepy Pokemon? Welcome to the Pokemon haunted house.
Seriously, anyone who says that Pokemon is just a kid's game is clearly not reading these Pokemon Pokedex entries.
Small Gorgeist often pretend to be children crying in order to fool adults, and it will then carry away anyone who falls for its act into the afterlife.
So I was having this conversation. I was having this conversation. I have a personal trainer now, and they ask like, oh, so what do you do? I'm like, oh, I write about Pokemon and Dungeons and Dragons and comic books, and they're like, oh, and so like every week it's like mostly like, you know, it's like, okay, we're doing this training stuff, but the personal trainer will ask me like these like random questions like, so what sort of writing have you been doing? And it's like, so, and like they're a little curious about the whole like Pokemon thing, like D&D, they're like, yeah, D&D nerds, all that, but they're like, Pokemon, that's a children's franchise. And it's like, I'm like, well, it is, but also it's not. Like, I don't know how else to explain it. It's like, also, it's like, and I was like telling them, it's like, yeah, no, there's a surprising number of Pokedex entries, which is all about like, you know, like dead spirits and murdering people and how these Pokemon will like literally eat your entrails if provoked. Like, yeah, it's actually kind of a creepy franchise. And they're like, really? I was like, yeah. So I was like reading off some of these like ghost Pokedex entries and they're, never cease to amuse me. God bless Spooky Season, and God bless the Game Freak employees that write these things. Because,
truly.
You know, obviously they are as morbid as we are.
But that's the thing we need to find out, though, is, like, are the ones that we get in our games, are they just translated from the Japanese, or, like, are we getting newish entries from the Japanese?
Yeah, they're translations of the originals, the Japanese ones. Like we don't get like entirely different.
We don't get separate sets. Yeah. All right, fair enough. Well, that's going to do it for another week of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared. Thanks for spending some time with us this week. We're excited to hear all about your journeys into the Crown Tundra, into Pokemon Go during the Halloween season. So please keep sending us photos of your catches and gameplay and whatnot. We'll be more than willing and happy to share them on Pokemon Pod CB, the official Twitter account of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared. Otherwise, you can find me at Jim Viscardi.
You can find me on Twitter at Megan Peter CB.
And I am at Seehofer CBus.
So until next week, where we do a much deeper dive into the Crown Tundra, we'll catch you later. Thanks, folks.